Hello, and thanks for joining me today. If you're a business owner or an executive, I know that you're constantly looking for ways to free up cash flow or increase productivity or find that hidden profit. And so much of being able to do that well has to do with what you're doing with your people and your processes. And so that's going to be the focus of our conversation today with my guest expert. Her name is Lisa Anderson, and Lisa is a business consultant with expertise in supply chain management and operations. She covers a broad base of processes related to business. Just to give you a flavor for that, as I mentioned, she has expertise in supply chain management, operations management, project management, information systems implementation, mergers and acquisitions, and the list goes on. So more about Lisa's work can be found at www.lma-consultinggroup.com. So Lisa, it sounds like you've done it all. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
I know that, as I said, our main focus for our conversation today is people and processes. And to me, it's very timely because there are so many organizations in flux and going through change. And to me, there's a greater need for organizations to put their people and processes under the microscope to get the most out of that. So what are your thoughts on that? Why do you see it as being so important right now?
Well, as you said, with the recession that's going on right now, organizations are really struggling. And so they're panicking, and it's really critical to remember the fundamentals and go back to your people and processes. And it's also becoming apparent that a new normal is emerging for 2010, which is going to be, you know, in essence, from what I'm seeing, we're not going to go back to where we were in the past. Instead, we're going to be going towards this new normal, which is in essence going to be just a whole new business environment for the future, which definitely is critical in coming back to the people and process.
Right. Say more about what your thinking is on what will be happening in the new business environment.
Well, it's no longer going to be as, I don't know if easy is the right word, but it's no longer going to be as easy as it has been to generate sales. Consumers are struggling and aren't going to be able to continue to get easy credit. So it's going to be just a completely different business environment with different, most likely different sales revenue levels and or more focus on market share versus what's been true in the past. Mm-hmm. And then in order to achieve a profit with the rising healthcare costs and rising commodity costs, it's going to be more and more challenging. So I believe that there's going to be three main elements in the future, which is going to be cash is going to be king, which it has been for the last year, but I don't see that going away.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I also believe that service is going to be paramount because basically as we're competing for customers, the one with the best service and the best focus on the customer is going to be the one to succeed. And then the last thing would be their execution is everything, which really comes back to the people and process.
Right. Good. Well, I'm eager to talk more about that. What is it that you see are some of the biggest problems that your clients are facing now? I know that you work across a wide range of industries, don't you?
I do. I've worked from ranging from aerospace to healthcare to manufacturing.
Right. So when it comes to people and processes, what are some of the biggest problems that you're seeing across the board?
Well, right now with my clients, one of the key issues is a cash crisis. In essence, there's a lack of funding for what's absolutely essential for the business, and so there's an immediate focus on all those activities that may have been important in the past, but not to the same degree, and those would be the ones that would help them free up cash. In order to succeed, that's mm-hmm. one problem. A second problem that I'm seeing is a crisis of confidence. And what I mean by that is there's a crisis in the sense that there's a lack of decision-making out there. In essence, when so many problems and issues are arising and management is perplexed as to what to do. It makes it such that decisions aren't being made, and execution is suffering.
So managers.
And the third thing I'm seeing is that while both of those are going on, at the same time, customers are increasing their expectations. So that leads to a problematic environment.
Right, more pressure on the business to
exactly.
perform. Right, and I know I work with a lot of leaders. I've seen the same thing where they feel a bit stymied and more hesitant. Even some of the most decisive leaders that I've seen are holding back more right now, trying to get a lay of the land and figure things out. So I think you're right on target. What are some of the mistakes that you see businesses making?
Well, one of the mistakes that I see very frequently is their perception that the solution to all problems is to reduce labor costs. At times, that might be one of the answers, but it's rarely, if ever, the answer. So that's one issue, or one mistake I see. The second mistake I see is, and it really relates back to the crisis of confidence as well, and the crisis of cash, but there's no investments being made whatsoever, even in ROIs, return on investment projects that are immediate.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third thing I see as far as a mistake goes is we're really focused on a survival mode mentality. And so therefore, everything is important because after all, we're trying to survive. And continuous improvement is being considered. But then again, when we have everything important, it becomes a difficulty to manage.
Right. So reducing the labor cost, you said, trying to clarify priorities. What should businesses be doing differently then if you see them making these kinds of decisions or kind of knee-jerk reactions? What should they be doing differently?
Well, instead of considering the solution to all problems is labor costs, what I found to work well is to consider what are the key profit drivers in the business. And many times, like for example, I worked with one client whose material cost was 70% of the product cost, and the labor cost was only 8 to 10%. So it seems pretty obvious from that material cost is more important than labor cost in that case. However, you'd be surprised, but they were focused completely on labor cost just because it's really commonplace today, and it's just where everyone goes first.
Mm-hmm.
So instead, in this case, from a material perspective, they could be working with suppliers to find ways to reduce the materials in their products, or they could be reducing their waste levels, and it would have a far more significant impact on their business.
When you say profit drivers, are those also things that are changing right now in light of the current environment, or...
Well, they could be.
Mm-hmm.
And basically what I'm thinking from profit drivers is what are really the key factors behind the profit in your business? So, example, the typical ones are going to be material cost, freight cost, labor cost. So what are those? From the cost side, there's the standard cost. And then there's also profit drivers in terms of revenue, working on the top side of the business. So looking at those levers, if you will, in your financial statements, which ones, if you're focused on them or pull a certain lever, which one will make the biggest impact on your business, and then focus your attention there.
Okay, good. Good advice for leaders to do that then. Anything else that you think that they should be doing differently to help avoid some of the mistakes that you mentioned?
Well, the second mistake I talked about with no investments is, in essence, the answer to that is, make investments. Now, with that said, by no means am I suggesting that businesses should be spending money freely in this environment. But for solid ROI, return on investment projects, now is the time to invest. From the studies that have occurred since the last recession, those businesses that invested during the recession are those that were far more successful than their competition. And that's what I'm seeing with my clients as well. The ones that are willing to invest in this, we may not even be talking about substantial investments, even $1,000 of an investment here or there,
mm-hmm.
something that many businesses aren't doing, yet can be what sets them ahead of the crowd.
Right. And it seems counterintuitive because so many businesses are afraid to put money down, not knowing what the future will be. But I guess you really just have to take that bet and be confident and clear about what your priority is and the expectation that you have.
Exactly.
To benefit from it, so to go for it.
Exactly. And then the third one, we talked about the mistakes, as our focus on survival mode. Instead of focusing on survival, businesses should focus on thriving. Now, what I mean by that is, instead of considering everything as important, because after all, when you're surviving, you feel like you absolutely have to get everything done, and otherwise you're going to go out of business. Instead, rigorous prioritization is something I found to be a key secret to success.
And is there any specific process that you recommend for prioritization? I assume that you're talking about senior leadership levels, that they need to get together and be on the same page. And
yes, it starts with senior leadership. It can be done at any level in the organization, but really it has to start with senior leadership, because if the goals and focus starts with senior leadership with a rigorous prioritization process, then it'll flow down to the rest of the organization. And in essence, what I mean by that is looking at the company's strategy and understanding the current business environment, which could lead us back to the new normal I talked about in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And then saying, within that environment, and considering our profit drivers, as we talked about a few minutes ago, where should I really be focusing my scarce resources attention? And so therefore, it's really amazing that such a simple concept could be drive the results it does. But I found it to really drive results if, you know, we just focus on the top three things or even the top item for a period of time instead of focusing on 100 things. It makes a huge difference.
Right. And you mentioned the importance of strategy before. So I assume that you're viewing strategy as a foundation for establishing those priorities. Is there any specific process to help leaders who might be listening in who are saying, everything's important, how can I possibly know? I'm assuming that's an important element. Anything else around the process that you recommend for prioritizing?
Yes. As far as strategy goes, it's a framework, in essence, for making decisions. So, yes, it doesn't have to be very complicated. It doesn't have to take a long time. It's really sort of as simple as saying, given the business environment, given my company's basis for being here, where am I going in the future? And then basically, then you figure out your path to get there within the current business environment. And so it's really, of course, there's more involved than that, but it really doesn't have to be terribly complicated, but it does have to be clear.
Mm-hmm.
If I found in organizations that have a clear strategy and a clear vision, or in essence, it's just clear as to where they're going,
mm-hmm.
then everybody within the organization is suddenly empowered to a larger degree to make decisions, and they know those decisions are ones that are supporting where the company should go, and that makes a significant difference. It sounds like, wow, that sounds too easy to work, but it really does.
Right. It beats the alternative of when you think everything's a priority and then you're really not focused at all.
Exactly.
So tell me, since you work across industries, are there any best practices that you would recommend that would be beneficial for, any size organization, any industry, any best practices?
Yes, I do. And really, an overarching theme is simplicity and clarity. And then within that, we have the first one would be just what we were just talking about, is defining a clear strategy or focus. The second one goes back to people. So basically people, which in this case I'm looking at as relationships. I think relationships are really emerging even more in what I'm calling the new normal as critical. Collaboration and working with your customers, working with your suppliers, working with your employees, and all other business partners is becoming more and more critical. Those that consider relationships to be an asset instead of a cost, I think will be those that succeed.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third one relates back to process, of course. So from a process perspective, my best practice advice is to forget about and throw out all these fancy ideas and fads Although some of them, actually many of them, for example, Lean and Six Sigma and those types of programs are effective programs, and certainly they are effective concepts. But people get way too caught up in them. I mean, for example, I worked with some clients who do Kaizen events, which is part of a Lean program. It really just means how do we improve this process.
Mm-hmm.
And they get so involved in the actual event that, you know, it nothing happens. You know, nothing changes in the business, and it really just ends up being a waste of money.
Mm-hmm.
So although the concepts will work, you can't afford to get totally hung up in all these fads. Instead of that, blocking and tackling actually works. And what I mean by that is, you know, just focusing on your basic business process, execution. In the clients that I've gone into, I can't think of an exception right now where helping them execute better is a significant portion of what I did to help them improve their bottom line results. And it really isn't something that requires money. It doesn't require resources. It just requires a focus on execution and about doing that.
Could you share a specific around that? Maybe a client that you've worked with, what the situation was before, some of their specific challenges, and then I know you can't get into detail about all that you've done, but you know how they came out on the other side, what was improved. I thought that might be helpful for people listening in to get a more specific idea.
Sure. Basically, one example that I work with frequently is inventory levels, because it really relates back to cash flow. So in essence, in one company I worked with, they had, in essence, double the amount of inventory that was required to support their customer base, because, you know, it's very easy to get into that position, because it seems like from a sales perspective that you need to have everything you possibly can have so that you can have it available when a customer comes by to purchase it. And, you know, they were really struggling with execution of how they manage this huge stockpile of inventory. And so basically, you know, I came in and did some of the simple concepts we've been talking about. In essence, elevated the focus of inventory management throughout the organization, placed the right people into the right roles to balance the competing needs.
How difficult is that, getting the right people in the right roles?
In this case, they already existed in the business. They just weren't in roles where they could make the difference they needed to make. So really, it wasn't that difficult. It was a matter of talking with the people in the business, and that's another secret to success. I know it sounds really odd, but it's a secret to success. Actually, I just have been working in the last week with a client where it's made tremendous progress, and all it is actually talking to the people involved with the process steps. So what I typically do in this case, and we were talking about inventory, so I would talk with all the people that would relate to inventory, and as I talked with them, and I was explaining the vision and as far as I knew it, and was asking them about, you know, the problems, what do they see as the issues with inventory and those types of things. It became clear in my conversations as to, you know, we had a couple of gold mines, if you will, in terms of people that were in roles, but they just weren't in roles where they could make as big of an impact as they could if we put them into a different role and had them supported by management to help lead the initiative. So it really wasn't that difficult, but it just required spending the time with them, really.
A very basic thing to do, talk to the people involved in the process to figure out what can be better.
A lot of what I do sounds quite funny when I end up talking about it, but it really is. It's not as easy as it sounds, because I find that it so often doesn't happen.
Oh, absolutely. So, and especially similarly with clients that I work with, they're just too close to the business or too focused on other things. To return to some of these basics is a good reminder.
Yeah, that's very, very true.
Good. Well, what can leaders do or executives do to make sure that they have the right people and process in place? Is this something that the leader needs to kind of take charge of and say, okay, this is an initiative or this is a priority that, you know, we want to put our stake in the ground and make sure that we've got people in the right roles and in right processes in place. Tell me how you see the leader's role in all of this.
Okay, well, there, I see several pieces for the leader's role, and some of them really do go back to things we've been talking about, but they're worth repeating. One is, definitely, the leader's role is to provide that clear strategy. And not only to provide the clear strategy, but to help and work with to everyone that works for them and, you know, throughout their chain, to help them translate that into clear goals for each person, so that person knows, you know, this strategy and what all these different priorities I see going on. If I really focus on these three things, let's say, then, you know, I'll be not only accomplishing something that that's visible, but I'll be able to, I'll be supporting the strategy and helping the business move forward. So translating it into goals is really critical. Mm-hmm. And then a focus and emphasis on results. And I know this sounds quite simple as well, but it really becomes not so simple.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's easy to reward effort, and there's nothing wrong with effort. After all, working hard is something I think we could use a lot more of, you know, in a general sense. But basically, as opposed to, you know, who's the best talker, or, you know, who's focused on fads and who's staying late but not achieving anything, it really is important to think about and focus on and emphasize the importance of results. Of course, I don't mean results at the expense of principles of, and values of the company, but basically, in general, we're focusing on tangible results.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then go around constantly asking questions, and I find that's really another secret to success. But
what kinds of questions?
Feedback.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, you know, people are very clear when you're asking questions and asking for feedback, and you're asking for their ideas as to whether or not you're just asking, or whether or not you really want to know.
Right. So that's a good point, to ask questions to get feedback, as opposed to asking questions to try to uncover something or probe in a way that would be annoying to employees.
Well, that's true, because there are situations where people ask questions to find blame as well. That doesn't
right.
necessarily help either. Now, to find the root cause is important, but finding blame doesn't really help.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, constantly asking those questions, and then what they need to see as well is that, you know, it's not just in vain. I mean, in essence, you're doing something with it. That does not mean by any means that a manager or leader should act on every single piece of feedback, because after all, they're not even all valid.
Mm-hmm.
But that you should be absorbing them, and that they should be able to see that you're thinking about it, that you're doing something to follow up on the process, and that, you know, the ones that make sense and help move the company forward are being acted on.
Right, right. A good approach. Now, we've only got a couple of minutes left, Lisa, so are there any final tips or closing thoughts that you think would be helpful for people to know before we wrap up?
Yes, I think, well, in general, the themes that I've really been talking about is to value your relationships, and relationships are really going to be number one. And they are number one.
Mm-hmm.
Simplify. I feel that is really something that's counterintuitive for businesses to do, but it really drives results.
Yes.
And then focus.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be surprised what a simple focus can do to achieving what you need to achieve, which really relates back to the priorities.
Right.
Creating flexibility is another theme really throughout this is, especially in today's times of the new normal, organizations have to be nimble and
mm-hmm.
change with the changing times and not take 2 years to change or there's going to be issues there. So being flexible. And then the last thing is to look for opportunities to use leverage, meaning, you know, finding something where if you pull this lever, you can have a significant greater impact, you know, as a in a general sense.
Right, the one that would have the best ROI.
Right.
Good. Well, Lisa, thank you so much. I want to let people know they can find out more about your work at lma-consultinggroup.com. I've been speaking today with Lisa Anderson, a business consultant who has covered a lot of different processes with us today during our conversation. So, Lisa, I appreciate your sharing your expertise with us and look forward to speaking with you again.
Thank you. Me too.